Edith Piaf. That's the Marseillaise. And am I right?
That's right.
Yes. And I have to, Phil Conn has a program Wednesdays, 6 to 8, Classical Underground. So I never say anything about music without.
Well, I think I'm going to make that recording our theme, at least in the next couple of months.
For your show.
For sure. That's like it's so inspiring.
Yeah. Well, you know, you think of Edith Piaf, you think of the resistance, you think of the French anti-fascist forces, and such a remarkable person. You know, she was the fiance of Marcel Cerdan, the middleweight champion, who died in a plane crash. I mean, just... And there's a lot of tragedy in her voice. She's just a wonderful person. But that song, the Marseillaise, people should read the lyrics. It's a little revolutionary essay.
Yes.
It's you know, not for I think not for the weak of spirit.
I think Jupiter should read the lyrics and reflect on his future.
It would probably turn his hair gray overnight. This is the Taylor Report, and it is CIUT, 89.5 FM, the... 2018 is almost expired.
You have a few hours to donate to CIUT and win the trip to Iceland.
Oh.
Go to the website, CIUT.fm, donate some money. And there's a passage in the gospel that says, the last shall be first. You might be the person who donates at 9 p.m. and wins the trip to Iceland.
He's using the Bible to do this. I think that's a conflict of interest. Anyway, that's great. Yes, it is. In the final, this is your chance. You might get to go to Iceland. It is. Boy, everybody's been there. It tells us this is a great trip. So, and again, it's CIUT. Now, just to say, I believe that we are experiencing at the moment the resolving of the attempt led by the United States to bring about regime change in Syria. It's certainly a time to be very vigilant, but the President of the United States has said that they're going to do this. He's doing it, they say, against the advice of his generals, and it's rare in history that the generals are right about anything, actually. If Lincoln had listened to his generals, they wouldn't have attacked the South because they didn't want to do it. And as a matter of fact, it took him a long time to find a general who was willing, a man named Grant. You can look it up. Anyhow, the nation it's got a constitution, it has an executive, and that's the way. I listen to some liberals, and they almost seem to want the generals to run the country. What we ought to underline, maybe I do it this way, there's a proverb that says, this old anvil laughs at many broken hammers. And the hammers went to work on Syria. They threw everything at it. They had destroyed Libya. They had killed Gaddafi. And I remember John McCain saying, you're next, to President Assad of Syria. And they had lied to the United Nations. They went to the United Nations and said, we want a no-fly zone. And they were allowed to have that, but then they themselves violated the rules of engagement, as it were. It was supposed to be protecting in Libya the people of Benghazi from air attacks by the leader of the country, by the government. When, of course, that wasn't even Libya agreed to that, by the way. They said, we're not going to fly. So they agreed. But the no-fly zone was established, and then they went to work bombing Libya. And then they did everything to put the nastiest collection of jihadists of various political outlooks, financed by the Gulf states and Saudi Arabia and others, to destroy that country. So, but then they said, now we're going to do it to Syria. And the leader of France and the leader of the UK and the leader of the United States and the leader of Canada said, Assad, you must go. Well, now that was 2011, 2012, and it is 2018. And those who said he should go are going themselves. And that's because the people of Syria do not want a master from outside. And they were a coherent political body and with a coherent political leadership, with a defined goal, which was perfectly rational. That is to say, Syria has to remain intact as a country. Its borders have to be, every single inch, as the president of Syria says, has to be restored to Syria and under Syrian authority. And it's a sovereign country. And you don't get to call it, you do if you write for the Toronto Star, Globe and Mail. You could be a snotty kid if you want, and you can call it a regime, and you can call him a dictator. But that is not the feeling, the opinion of the people of Syria, clearly. And the idea that that foreign-sponsored mercenary killers who said the Christians have to get out and the Alawi will be murdered, will be slaughtered, that was what they were saying they were going to do. And Canada was involved in supporting that. And they brought sanctions against Syria. So I have to tell them, now you're being faced with something. These monarchs are losing their nerve. And we said on this show, you see, when you go to overthrow a country, a sovereign and strong country, which is, it's a republic, by the way. I mean, people don't like to use the word. They just call him a dictator. But it's actually a republic. There are opposition parties. I don't know the internal workings. I know, though, that there is a broad political system with competent people. They have universities. They have high level of culture and everything else. And they are also a secular society. They are celebrating. They celebrated Christmas in Damascus and Aleppo. Saudi Arabia, that has helped finance the attempt to destroy this government, does not celebrate. You can't even have a Christmas tree in Saudi Arabia. So that's the side that Canada is on, is the most sectarian and undemocratic philosophies that these people embody. Actually, it's the principles, political principles of Syria that have caused it to survive. Because people are willing to go into the army. They are willing to give their lives. And they have done it. And, of course, they also, it's a sovereign country. We have to explain these things, but Canada does not understand sovereignty. So you have to explain to them. It's a sovereign country. It's a member of the United Nations. It has a right as a sovereign state to invite other states to come and be part of its defense if it's under attack. And it is under attack. So Russia was invited, and that's a legal matter. They were invited, and they have a right to be there. Iran, the Islamic Republic, was invited to be there. The Hezbollah elements were allowed to come. And that is, of course, was necessary because Obama, and it was Obama, not Trump, it was Obama and Hillary Clinton, who tried every dirty trick to get in and destroy the government of Syria. And because they did that, Russia came. It was the United States first that started to fly over Syrian territory. That was, I think, in many ways a trigger. When they started, and Hillary was running for president saying, no fly zone for Syria. And, the smarter people, the ones who care about survival and about their own, the principles of their own country said, don't do that. That is really, it's hazardous, and it's also wrong in principle. But Obama and Hillary went for that. It was at that point that Syria exercised its right to ask Russia to come and to provide air cover and support for their forces. And they began to have significant success. We spoke to Tiffany Dixon earlier, and there's a phrase, it's a very good one, that comes into our discussion. President Assad was visited by the French media, I forget which press outfit it was, but they said to him at the end of their interview, do you have any message for the people of France? And he said, yes, we believe in liberty, equality, fraternity. What do you believe? And, of course, they, as we heard from Tiffany Dixon, we have a law and order guy now running Paris. He thinks he has the right to intervene in Syria. And when asked why Macron believes that, he said, well, we have historic ties. Well, that's true. He's an imperialist and a colonialist. He does have historic ties. The French used to rule there. And he considers that means I was once a burglar in your house. I get to come back and visit. No, actually, if you're a burglar in our house, you ought to be in jail. But they use, to them, that's historical precedent. So the anvil is laughing at these broken hammers. And for me, the cherry on the cake for this, the victory of the Syrian people, which I understand is not complete. There's many steps to go. But I loved it that Chomsky showed himself to be an absolute clown at the last moment. Here we are in the final days of the defeat of by Turkey and others to and the foreign-sponsored killers to overthrow that government, and they're being defeated. So they developed what they call the Kurdish question. And so there is a group, in a political group in the Kurdish district of Syria. It is Syria, but it's, so Noam Chomsky said that the U.S. should defend them, protect them. It's so hard to address it. The first thing I'd say is Noam looks funny in a helmet. You don't associate him, but we had to put a little cigarette, make him Woolly and Joe. Noam says, okay, things are getting tough. We got to bring in the Marines. I thought it was very revealing. That we learn sort of the true nature of a particular American man who calls himself an anarchist. He seems to be a crank Democrat who moonlights as an anarchist because he tells us every 4 years he votes for the Democrats. He voted for Hillary. He's very proud of it. And Hillary definitely believed in a no-fly zone, and she also believed in bombing the bejesus out of the people of Syria, which I guess Noam would have said, I think that's excessive, which was a very radical statement from him. But I think he made an ass of himself. I'm glad he did, because actually the simple things needed to be understood. That's a sovereign country. If you think that you can go in there, Noam and Obama, you deserve to get beaten, and the people will beat you. Reminding everybody the history, Obama first said that he was going to go in 2013. He announced that U.S. was going to intervene to protect the people from, he said, from the government, from the regime. They called it the regime. However, he hit a roadblock because the Parliament of Britain said no. You remember the vote. And we should remind, I don't know how many of our listeners remember, the British Parliament said, we don't want to be part of this. They understood something about sovereignty. They understood that's a too big a step. It was only then they developed this other thing. By the way, it had to do with chemical weapons. Now, Syria at that time, the Russians got involved, and the Americans thanked them. The Secretary of State, I think at that time, might have been John Kerry. But at any rate, they thanked the Russians for bringing the Syrians and them together, and they agreed on the destruction of chemical weapons. So this later, these talks of the use by chemical weapons now is a joke, because actually they destroyed Syria's chemical weapons, and the United States said we won't invade because now you've destroyed the chemical weapons. They acknowledged, but then they started saying again that the chemical weapons are there, but in fact they were destroyed. Now there's a new thing that they added. Then they said, when they realized they didn't have an excuse anymore with chemical weapons, they made a new one, and they said, well, you have terrorists there, the ISIS, and to me ISIS is an imperialist anchor baby. They say, oh, we notice you have ISIS, and Syria says, yes, we're fighting them. No, we have to come and help you. Well, I don't want your help. I'm going to come help you anyway. So it's an anchor baby. They say, oh, we notice you have a drug cartel in your country. Our Air Force will be landing tomorrow to take care of that. Those are anchor babies. That's a trick, an imperialist trick to come into your country. So they came in and they brought the Marines, but they put this has not worked out. The people of Syria, together with Russia and Iran, have now defeated them. Bahrain is now saying we have to bring Syria back into the Arab League. I don't know why Syria would ever want to go back, but they're smart, so they will. They'll smile and they'll say, oh, yeah, you wanted me back? I'm back. Because you're the guy who stabbed me in the back, and paid people to kill me, but I'm alive, aren't I? So you're going to be nice to me. And a plane from Syria, a tourist plane, landed in Tunisia 2 days ago, and a crowd came out to meet them and played music and held up the Syrian flag. So, and now the new move is, let's just forget it and all go back to making nice. But that's because they're all falling apart out of their failure to defeat Syria. Even Saudi Arabia is shaky. And I would not bet on where Mr. The MSB or whatever his name is, SOB, whatever. I don't think he knows for sure who he doesn't. He's like Erdogan. I think he's thinking the Americans are pretty dangerous people. And he's been known to call up Putin himself. So the place is now falling apart because they overreached, and they tried to overthrow Syria, and they have failed beautifully. And I want to thank him again for dragging Noam Chomsky into it, because that shows that we need a better quality of leadership of people who claim to be anti-war. This is the Taylor Report, and I think we're getting near the end. I'm seeing anxious faces, so that's always a sign. Been looking after us, so we hope you have a nice new year, and we'll be with you next week.